tell us about Phantom Pilots.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll bring it all.
Do we want to keep it quick since there's so many of us?
You guys, what would you want to listen to?
Yeah. I prepared a manifesto.
Previously on Improv Sucks.
I'm Sean Marciniak, and I come from Buffalo, New York, where I did stand-up for a bunch of years. Did it in New York City for like 8 months, had problems, and came back home. And became like a weird, the improv guy in the stand-up scene, which is weird because I'm like, no, I want to be the stand-up guy. And everyone's like, no, help us out with this group we're trying to start. I'm like, oh. But then like I did it more and more, and I was like, oh, wait, improv makes me like super happy and like not stressed, and this just feels good. So I started saving up money, working out, and eventually got myself to Chicago. Yeah.
What was it about Chicago that called to you?
Improv, it's just, this is the home of improv. This is where you do. And as opposed to like in New York or even in LA, I had a few friends in LA. I've been to New York, but I visited Chicago a little bit, and it was just like the community is is so warm and cozy, fuzzy blanket. And I think that's important to create art you really care about, is to have a strong community behind that. And that's why Chicago called more than like Minnesota, I suppose. Nothing against Minnesota, man. I want to see your indie team, Minnesota. Come on up.
There's good stuff in Minnesota. Brave New Workshops up there.
I bet so.
Yeah.
The movie Santa's Sleigh, starring WCW World Heavyweight Champion Bill Goldberg as Murder Santa, set in Minnesota. That's a real
comedy?
Oh, it's so good.
So good. All right, before we go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah. I'm Jess Brill. I'm originally from Florida. I did a lot of musical theater in high school. I did theater in college. I came to Chicago because I wanted to live in a city, and it was honestly more affordable than New York City at the time. I didn't do anything really right away, and then like started taking classes in comedy to get back into it, and was like, oh, yep, this is exactly where I'm supposed to be. It's not musical theater or, you know, other types of theater more so. Like, this is definitely more my home.
Nice. What part of Florida?
Born and raised in Tallahassee, and I went to school in Orlando. I had no idea about the comedy scene in Gainesville at all. Like, completely oblivious.
Yeah. I've heard cool things. Have you visited Gainesville at all? I'm just curious. I know.
I'm being from Tallahassee, Gainesville's like a big rival city. And it's just, I'm just not, Gainesville's like, it's not for me. Not. They do good stuff there. Good school.
Okay. Gotcha. Cool. Awesome.
Hi, I'm JJ Ranvier. I'm originally from Los Angeles. I went to high school and college in New York State, but I'm very adamant I'm not from there. And then I moved to Chicago specifically to do comedy. Cliche reason, I read Tina Fey's book and I was like, oh, this is where I do comedy. And I got into comedy because when I was in college getting a theater degree, I could never get cast in any of the plays. So I ended up being in a sketch comedy group called FNL, like SNL, but it was on Fridays. Did not deserve that reaction. And I found I could cast myself. And I had a way better time doing that than trying to be in plays. And then so I came here and did all the cliche stuff. Did Second City, have done shows at The Annoyance, and I really love the scene.
Yeah, dude. Hell yeah, dude.
Nice. Hi, my name's Luis Badillo. Actually not an improviser. I just wandered in from the street.
Get out, liar!
Hey, leave.
No, guys, I actually
you
am.
You do this every week.
Oops, gotta go.
Smackity.
I gotta get my stick and bindle.
Oh, God.
My name's Luis. As you can tell, I'm a comedian. I grew up in Cicero, Illinois. It's a western suburb of Chicago. The mean streets of Cicero don't have a lot of like theater out there. And that's actually like a huge problem for kids growing up in that town. I spent some time in Wisconsin as a teenager, and there I got into theater and got cast in a lot of bit roles where my directors would let me do bits.
Hell yeah.
And when I moved back to Illinois for college, I just basically moved to Chicago for geographical convenience, really. I wanted to find some way, somehow, to do comedy that would cost me the least amount of money. So I took an improv class in my college. And there, I think I might be the only person in that class that stuck with improv. And here I am.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to Northeastern Illinois University. And I got a degree. All right, so they don't have a real theater degree, media degree, or communications degree. It's one burrito of a degree.
That's the tastiest kind.
Yeah.
I love a
communications media theater. So I got.
Oh, wow. You weren't kidding.
No, that is the thing on the degree. Those are the words on there.
Do they have enough room?
No. No, they printed it out like a scroll. From there, I still do theater stuff. I occasionally stage manage for other people in the comedy community. Comedy's my passion. I've wanted to do it since high school, ever since I saw Conan O'Brien on TV, and I realized, oh, this is what comedy is.
I think he would be flattered to hear you say
that. Yes.
I could talk more about background of this, but I'm more interested in hearing about my friend to my left ear.
Hi, I'm Jared Sanders. I am from Normal, Illinois. I got into improv when I was in college. I did stand up and improv in high school very, very sporadically, but it probably wasn't until I was out of high school until I got into it. And I moved to Chicago to pursue comedy. And yeah. that's how it's going.
Normal, Illinois is the middle of the state.
Bloomington, Normal, Illinois, yeah. The heartland of Illinois.
Nice.
Now, where did you go to college?
I went to, I actually didn't move away from Normal, Illinois. I went to Illinois State University, ISU, and there's a really neat improv group there called Improv Mafia. That it was like improv school, because for every Tuesday night we had a show. Every Monday we had practice for 3 hours. Every Saturday we had practice for 3 hours, and it was like comedy boot camp. And I did it for like 3 years. I did it even after I dropped out of college and I stopped doing shows, and then I just kept going to practice and hanging out with them.
did they know you dropped out?
They knew, okay. And then when I told them, they were like, "You can't be in shows." Oh. And then like a year later, they were like, "Yeah, why don't you be in shows?"
Yeah,
more than that.
Because you're hanging out all the time, That was really a great comedy training ground for me. I hosted an open mic called Theater of Ted there too, where anything can happen. And when it would happen at Saturday nights at midnight. And sometimes it would run till like 3 or 4 in the morning. And you really just, you see all kinds of types of performance, and you really get kind of a gauge of like what you love or what you hate about performance, and you get to hear the opinions of your like peers and response pieces and bad poetry, and you get to see belly dancing and like really great. I did naked jumping jacks like a lot of people before, a lot of hosts before me and a lot of hosts after me will do. It was really just like pure expression. And it was sort of...
That's one way of calling that.
It was ugly and hard, but like...
And you can catch it later this week.
It was super... and I don't do anything like that in my comedy anymore, because nudity sometimes puts people off. But
that's another conversation.
Yeah. But going to school there was like really formative, and then moving to Chicago has also been just like a big part of like trying to find my identity and where what exactly, where do I fit into the comedy community, and I'm still working on it, but like, you know, it's fun, it's good.
Firas Alexander, I believe I probably moved the farthest. I was living in Kuwait before I moved to Chicago, and I've always been back and forth between the U.S. and Kuwait. I was in an improv group in college, but I didn't really think too much of it. I mean, it was really fun. If you're listening, guys, we had a great time. It was wonderful. I'm just saying, we didn't know what we were doing at all. Nobody had any experience, and it was just like, hey, I heard of this thing called The Herald. Like, let's try it out. Hey, this isn't as fun as these short-form games. Let's just continue doing that. Yeah. And because it's really difficult when you're outside of Chicago and New York and L.A. to just learn about improv and learn how to do it. And I feel like I'm hearing similar things from everybody. But then I helped start one of the very first improv teams in Kuwait. We were doing short form for people, and you know, it had all its own sort of issues and weird things that we had to deal with. Like there was this one time that one of the performers portrayed like a member of the royal family of the country, which is like actually like probably illegal. And our venue, like walking up to us like afterwards, is like, yeah, we could like lose our theatrical license for stuff like that. Please don't do things like that. But yeah. You know,
was it funny?
Yeah. Sure. I don't know. Sometimes something happens on stage and you're just like too worried about it to feel how funny it was. But it probably was. It probably was. So eventually just made my way over here and eventually created Phantom Pilots, and now I produce the show. So,
Hell yeah.
Love it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. You guys are just saying that.
Okay.
We support you.
My name is Sam Lounsbury. I'm from Boise, Idaho.
Yay.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it.
We can call the show now. I got into comedy. I was.
Why are you looking at me?
You sound so in pain.
It is pain.
Comedy is pain.
It is. I got into comedy. I wanted to do stand up for a while, and I did it. And I was also going in for a theater degree. One of my stand-up friends introduced me to his improv troupe, and I joined them, and I remember, like, the weird thing of, like, oh, I felt guilty doing, stand-up because I wasn't doing theater, and then I felt guilty doing theater because I wasn't doing stand-up, but I never felt guilty doing improv, and I think that's, like, I felt like that's where I riff pretty good on the fly, so I was like, oh, I'll just go to Chicago, the place where that's all where that is. And also, I visit here. I was going on tours of like places to live after I got out of college. Chicago, it was the coldest, and I said, yeah. So I flew here on a plane. Yeah.
I flew here on the back of an eagle.
Yes. Oh, man.
Ross, tell us about Phantom Pilots.
Awesome, yeah. Phantom Pilots is, I think it's like a work that's really close to all of our hearts. It's a different kind of improv show because we're not just taking a random suggestion from the audience. We have these books, and these books have over 2,000 different television synopses in them, and we ask the audience for like a random number that, you know, correlates to one of those entries. And then we just do the silliest version of that thing. We've definitely tried to be more serious in the past, but you know, you can't fight instinct. I think it's something that we've learned as we've been trying to put this show on. And it's if you get a chance to put on a show with your friends and people that you respect, it's the best thing you can do. People can say different things and whatever they want to say for this portion, obviously, but I think it's really easy to get caught up and be like, what's the thing that's trending? What's this thing that everyone loves to do? Because I remember a while back that it was like every kind of show was this like improvised X kind of TV show that you remember from the 90s or 80s or 70s. And there's nothing wrong with that if that's what you enjoy doing. But I think it was just like, we love all of that and more.
Yeah.
And this form just allows us to just explore those different kinds of stories and themes. And it's so fun.
Do you feel like you found sort of like a longevity in that form because it's kind of open-ended, endless?
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. Yeah.
I mean, the books have how many entries in them? It's something like
2,538 or even like 3,000.
And out of all the
somewhere.
Shows we've done, we probably like there's only been like a couple that we've had repeated. That's so weird.
It's really
and,
rare.
And so even weird. Then, it's like you could still do the same pilot
and be a different
be
show.
Completely
yeah.
different.
Because we're a different, because we're a really big team, so the makeup of the team might be different on a different night. Also, just being in different parts of our lives as we're performing just really informs it.
Is this all of you?
No.
So many.
We're like the Wu-Tang Clan. We have like 400.
World
domination. And we keep having to replace the drummer.
And we all have really cool nicknames.
Yeah. I'm the Flizza.
I'm
cool. Captain Mar-Vell.
Sam.
When did the moment strike you that this was the form, right? Or like this was the style? Right?
Okay, I feel like this might be a question. All right, I have to answer this.
It's
a me question. No, that's totally okay. I think it was even before there was ever a show. I ordered these books on Amazon.com. I know they need a plug, right?
Yeah. Thank you.
Use offer code
Jeff
Phantom.
Bezos.
He's also a member of the group.
Yeah, he really is. He's an honorary member. I ordered these books, and this is before I ever got into comedy. I want to be a television writer. It's like one thing. I mean, that's also if anyone's listening.
What'd you say? Pick up our script.
Yeah, I mean, Amazon is huge. So, and flipping through these books, I think it really coalesced into like a form and a thing. I talked to my friend Lizzie, and we heard that there was like an opening here at the Playground Theater and that we should apply, and we just sort of discussed this idea, and I was like, oh, wouldn't it be exciting if this happened, and it was just this sort of thing of just like building on this idea with another person that you really respect, and eventually just being like, I guess we just have to try it out. And I think it was really a form, it really the first time we came out there, and we were just like our very first night and our very first show in June 2017, and when we were just like, yeah, this is a real thing, even though we didn't know if it was or not ourselves, just trying it.
And the form has changed a little, like, in some ways, because, like, the first, like, couple of times we did it, there was a writer's room at the beginning, which was fun, but it was, like, it added a lot of time to it, and so I think, like, it was a good choice to cut it down so we could form more of the plot. Sometimes we have had a music director, sometimes we haven't, and that changes the mood of it a lot of times too. Sometimes we have an opening theme which could be fun and silly and set up things. So the form has changed a lot, but like I don't know, I think each time we get better at having like some sort of plot of some sort. How much it goes off on tangents.
Which is really fascinating, because the thing they always tell you about improv is to shy away from plot and from things like that. And I think the only reason that it ever succeeds for us is because these people that you're hearing right now, they're always focused on character and game. And so it doesn't really matter how closely you hew to a plot, as long as you're just playing around with those things.
And so I really think plot may be a strong word, because at this point, like, we've done this enough times that we're always at least following a through line.
That might be a better word.
And, that's way better, yeah.
And I think you said something earlier that really piqued my interest of how you're differentiating this from the improvised X show, but really this show is
is leveraging the best parts of those shows and what I like consider like the soul of improv, which is this unpredictability. Mm-hmm. Like, we really don't know what we're getting into every night, but like at the end of it, we can always tell each other, wow, we just like did this thing. If we like hammered out all the rough points, this might actually be like a script. And really, that selling point, I think, is one of the best things you've done with the show for us.
Yeah, I definitely love the strong characters too. For anyone who hasn't seen the show, how it starts off is we read the plot and then we read out the characters that were in the show, and everyone steps forward and picks a character. And it's fun because you get that character, you solidify maybe a trait or two about that character, but then also there's always random side characters in any sort of TV show. So there's the funness of not being stuck on that character. You can come in, walk on as this thing or that thing, but like people tend to go really hard on these characters, and that's really fun to play with.
Mm-hmm. Something that I feel like attracted me to it is I did a lot of music improv, not a lot, but went to programs, etc. I've been on various different teams, and I love that this is that without the music piece, which is still cool, and you don't see that a lot without the music, really.
Yeah.
I love that, yeah.
Yeah, there's something I think really both accessible and just like universal about playing narrative. And I don't mean to say playing narrative, because that's the thing, we're playing character, we're playing game, we're trusting narrative and through line, which is so, I think it's accessible for newer audiences. Like, I don't understand Harold. Oh, I remember that one from the first scene. That's good to see them come back. Like, it's accessible for them, and there's just something deeply universal about storytelling.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's a thing of, like, different art form, different expectations. I don't think anyone goes into an improv show and is like, look, I'm not going to judge it yet. What I'm really waiting is for this perfect ending that just wraps everything up and ties everything together. Like, that's not something anyone has ever said, about it.
Is that what you guys are aiming for?
Oh, no!
Oh, shoot!
Oh, no.
Luis!
I think we should lean right into it. Just ask everybody. I think the show, in many ways, this podcast here, is a love letter to why we all love and adore this work, but there's an ugly side.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. No,
it's personal and unique for every person. So let us know.
Yeah, why does improv suck?
man.
Yo, I got this.
He literally handed me his beer.
Yeah. All right, hold on. Wow, I took off my shirt.
This guy.
Hold on. Take care of that slick and middle. Hey, you don't get paid doing this.
No.
That really is the worst. For me, it's the worst part. I do think improv as a subset of comedy, or I think all comedy is a craft. Mm-hmm. It's a craft to be honed, and this particular scene has set a really bad example for performers. Good performance should be rewarded. Good craft should be rewarded. It shouldn't be good performers begging to dispense that craft into the world. Mm-hmm. And I think there's enough talent sitting at this microphone here that like to impress like any normal person off the street.
Yeah.
Like, we're amazing. We're magicians. And we're not gonna probably not see a dime for it.
Yeah. And I'll get a little serious too. The beautiful thing about improv is also the dark side of improv. It's an uncontrolled art a lot of times. Sometimes you have setups, but you can go on stage and you don't know what someone's going to do, and you don't know maybe even what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that attracts the wrong fucking people.
Yeah. Yeah.
That attracts the type of people that like that see an open scene and think they can take control of it. There's people who think, oh, I can do whatever I want because it's improv and you have to say yes and. That means I can grab people. That means I can spit on people, because I've seen that happen. And so like people are like, there's a lot of assholes in improv, and because we're supposed to be open and welcoming, it's hard to call people out sometimes and rein them in a scene. And so that's definitely one of the big reasons why improv sucks, is because a lot of people suck.
And just yes anding on to your
thank you
as you do is And also, I mean, and specifically when we're talking about people sucking, making improv suck, and also the financial burden. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people to get into improv have to go through classes at different schools and things. And I think
I just saw life drain from
him. Yeah. And it's not affordable for a lot of people, and that really cuts out a large swath of people that would be amazing, incredible performers. So it's really important for us. And not to get too much into financial stuff, but to make the show affordable and fun and good. Yeah. And also to just sort of be like, whenever someone like talks to us after a show, just be like, hey, you know, you don't have to just go to classes. You can get together with groups. Yeah. You can meet people, go to jams, different kinds of things. Yeah. And just really point out that there's a lot of avenues to get into improv.
Or even if you're listening to this and you're from a smaller town, maybe you're not ready to move to Chicago, New York, or LA,
which is expensive.
Absolutely. That was the nice thing. I mentioned Buffalo before, but yeah, just a bunch of people getting together, reading the books. Every now and again, people would tour through. Tara and Rance from here came through Buffalo and would offer workshops. A lot of time, teachers will come through small towns, and if you do a DIY scene, man. Shit, you ain't gotta play for class. That's nice.
That's awesome.
I agree with that. I like working with non-improvisers or my friends, just because. And sometimes their skill set is something that you need that your improv troupe lacks, and they have the expertise. The only thing that they're missing is improv, and I think improv is, as a tool is pretty easy to learn. As a craft, there's like a little more mastery to it. Mm-hmm. But like you can, if you have enough patience and you have an environment that's supportive and loving, I guess, for lack of a better word, you can teach just about anybody to improvise.
We're improvising right now.
What?
It's more of a conversation.
we're getting paid for this one.
Yeah, right?
I will be editing that out.
I'm just seeing someone run a finger past their neck, and
we're not going to make it out.
Release the Feroz cut.
Yeah. Hey, so, what part of Quay are you from? Oh, I'm a little behind on the script.
These are jokes.
Yeah. Y'all have some stuff you want to say?
Well, I obviously very much agree with what everyone had to say, like on an extremely like personal level in terms of what I think improv is very hard is. I feel like I come from a background and just generally speaking, like want to make the right move or the right decision. And improv is so not that. Like there isn't a singular right move. So sometimes that can be very like unnerving, but that's also the beauty of it. So it's like a mixed bag of an answer. But like for someone who very much is like always striving to be like so good, like it's going to be so like difficult, I guess.
Yeah. I remember sitting with a friend one time and him like we were having a conversation and he holds for like 30 seconds and then like deep in conversation, I'm like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, I'm trying to think of the perfect thing to say.
And
it's one of those things like it's tough. But then I'm sitting there like, it happened 30 seconds ago.
Well, it's like I heard that answer. I'm like, ooh, that was the right answer. Oh, nope, that's the right answer. Like, well, I still think about this one.
It's your truth.
I think all the above, but also sorry.
sorry, you beautiful soul.
Okay. Accidents are rewarded.
Yeah.
And that's probably like the toughest thing for me. Like the fact that like if you're a comedian, you can craft a joke, you can work on it really well. Or oh my gosh, like you're an actor, you can like learn your lines, get in the body of the character. Anything can happen. Anything will happen. Like you don't know what's gonna make you people or laugh, or you don't know what people are gonna laugh at. And it's weird. I think there's a lot of people get inflated egos really quickly because they think like, oh man, I'm so good. I did a really good show 5 times in a row. It's amazing. And like, next 3 years, it's just, oh God, why am I here?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Is this personal experience?
Yeah. I don't know. I'll call back 2 years from now. That's probably the number one reason. And money and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Sam, you are the gothest person.
You are. You're so
I take offense to
you're
that.
You're so emo. Oh, sorry.
I do kind of want to second that too. There is like a bit of a, like, you do this. We all do
we
this.
Do be, this.
We all do this because,
it's true.
On some way, shape, or form, it makes us feel good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've all had bad shows. Heck, even when we've had good shows, yeah, you know, that performance is tied to your self-confidence.
Yeah.
So it, even like when I've had an okay show or I wasn't like the worst piece of crap, even if I was a little bit of a piece of crap, I'll be like, man, I'm just human garbage, aren't I?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And yeah, it's go on.
We are the worst judges of our own show.
Yeah.
So I think even if it is something we all know, I think it's well worth saying because I think this is something that happens to a lot of comedians where they have a bad show or have a bad set, or even if they have a good show or a great show and someone comes up to them after, they're like, that was so funny, I really enjoyed that, that really meant something to me, and they're like, they can't get past their own inner garbage feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a real disservice to the comedian and to that audience person or friend or whoever came out mm-hmm. to support. Mm-hmm. I think why improv sucks is people should be able to take on more compliments and more joy. Mm-hmm. And if someone says they're happy and they enjoyed your show, let them have that by accepting it.
Yeah.
You would say that.
That's also,
yeah,
that is a really good way to think about that. Because
yeah.
I often deflect compliments.
Yeah. I see
a lot
it
of
so
it,
much.
Yeah.
Totally,
yeah.
Yes. Oh, the community is so nice. They're just saying that to say that. No one has to say
that. I've seen you take out a buckler and just smack somebody.
What do not compliment
The full number of post.
Improv Sucks is recorded live every Monday in the heart of Boys Town, Chicago, USA, at The Mixer. The Mixer is a hyper-inclusive improv workshop and jam. Every week, we find some of Chicago's finest performers to teach a workshop and improvise right along with you. Come on by the Playground Theater on Monday nights at 10 p.m. to join in on the fun. Many thanks to the people who helped make the show, Morgan for editing and co-hosting, Faraz for all of his help producing the show. Big props to the Nerdalogs for technical production and website hosting. This show really wouldn't be possible without them. All of their shows are supported by great people like yourself on Patreon. Seriously, if you love independent media, consider tossing them a buck a month. If everyone that listened chipped in, they'd be able to support more shows just like this one. Thanks.